Going to continue our study of the Gospel of John. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John chapter 11. Chapter 11 is a very powerful chapter. It has some great stories and great theology in it. So we're going to take our time and go through here. And so let's just let the Holy Spirit lead, shall we? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Open our hearts tonight and just speak to us through your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. John chapter 11. Now a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore the sisters sent to him, saying, "Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick." Now this is interesting because Jesus loves everybody, doesn't he? But they knew that Jesus loved Lazarus. There was a special bond. I'm glad that there is a special bond between Jesus and me and Jesus and you. You know, Jesus does not love anybody more than another person. He loved Lazarus. Lazarus is the topic of this first half of this chapter, so obviously the Holy Spirit wanted us to know that Jesus loved Lazarus. Sometimes in our life, certain things happen that don't make sense. And we may say, "Lord, don't you love me? Don't you see what I'm going through?" And we may question God's love. And so the Holy Spirit, right off from the bat, tells us that Jesus loved Lazarus because as we get in the story, his actions don't make sense. And isn't that funny how God's actions sometimes don't make sense? So when Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Now, I love this because you can insert whatever you're going through in place of Lazarus' sickness. Because whatever you're going through, it is an opportunity for the glory of God. That's actually a term that Paul used, I believe, in Philippians, talking about some of the things he was going to, and he called it an opportunity for the glory of God. Who but Paul would put a spin on something you're going through to call it an opportunity for the glory of God? And Jesus is basically saying the same thing here. So whatever you're going through right now in your life, in place of that word sickness, put, you know, this thing I'm going through is not going to kill me. It's going to bring glory to Jesus in my life. Amen? And just think about it that way. And so when the devil comes to you, like, "You look what you're going through. Where's God at?" Well, you know what? It's not going to kill me. It's going to bring glory to Jesus when I get through it. Praise God. So now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Just in case you thought he was partial, he loved Lazarus' sisters, Martha and Mary as well. So when he heard that he was sick, he stayed 2 more days in the place where he was. And then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, lately the Jews sought to stone you, and you are going there again?" And Jesus answered and said, "Are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if one walks in night, he stumbles because the light is not in him." These things he said, and after that, he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus sleeps, but I'm going to wake him." Now, of course, they don't know that he's talking about him being dead. And so they said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he's going to get well." And Jesus, of course, spoke of his death, but they thought that he was speaking about him just snoozing. And so Jesus finally said to them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and I'm glad for your sake that I was not there, that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him." And Thomas, who's called the twin, old doubting Thomas, he said to his fellow disciples, "Yeah, let's go so that we can die with him." So, oh, Thomas, he's a very uplifting individual, isn't he? Now, here's the interesting thing about this story. Jesus intentionally waited until he died. Do you know that no one throughout the Gospels ever died in Jesus' presence? If you read it, nobody ever died in Jesus' presence. Jesus wasn't there. Jesus intentionally allowed him to die. He said it's for the glory. We don't always understand why God doesn't show up when we think he should. And God is saying it's for my glory. And you say, "Well, it isn't very fun to me. I wanted you here 2 days ago," right? Now, when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, the Jews had a tradition that no one could be raised from the dead after 3 days. I don't know where that came from. That was the Jewish tradition. So anytime you put a limit on God, you are messing up, because nothing, that God can do anything, can he? There's nothing he can't do. And so God is not limited by the number of days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she had heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him. But Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And there it is again. If, Lord, if you had done this, then this would have happened. You know, again, putting limitations on God. "But even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." At least she understood that. And Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." And Martha said, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection in the last days. Now, we say resurrection is a day. It's a day that one day the rapture is going to happen. The dead in Christ are going to rise. We call that the resurrection. But Jesus reminds us that resurrection is not a day. It's a person. Amen. He said, "Girl, I am the resurrection and the life." Don't you love that? You're looking at resurrection. When Jesus is here, he resurrects everything. He resurrects my spirit. He resurrects my mind. He resurrects my heart. He resurrects my joy. There's nothing he cannot raise from the dead. I don't care how dead a church is. If Jesus shows up, it's going to come alive. Amen? Aren't you glad he's the resurrection? Amen? And the life. And that's what we need. We don't need more programs. We need Jesus to show up and resurrect us. Amen? And so he's the resurrection and the life. And he said, "He who believes in me, though he may die, he will live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" You know, I'm not going to die, and you're not going to die. You say, "What are you talking about, preacher? Everybody dies." Well, you know, if you hear, let's say next week I get hit by a truck, and everybody say, "Hey, did you hear Brother Roger die?" Don't believe it, man. If they have a service here and they have me in a casket, and maybe it's a closed casket because the truck hit me hard, they say, "You don't want to look in there because that's Brother Roger's messed up." That's not me. That's my tent. I moved out of that tent. And the day, the minute, the second that truck hit me, I moved out of my tent and into my mansion, because he who lives and believes in me will never die. Amen. Oh, death, where's your sting? Or grave, where's your victory? Thank God that Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is the resurrection and the life, and he that believes in him will never die. Hallelujah. Amen. And then he says, "Do you believe this?" "Yes, I believe it." If you don't, you're in trouble. If you don't, you get out of here. Go to a bar somewhere, because you ain't going to get any joy saying that. But when you believe it, God will set you free. I'm not afraid to die. When I got saved, before I got saved, I was afraid to die. People talk about death. Oh, don't talk about that. That scares me. You know, it scares anybody. Anybody that's not ready to meet the Lord, you talk about death, it'll scare them. They may say they don't get scared, but they do. Because they know that they don't know what's waiting. Amen. You know, is it heaven? Is it hell? Is it the abyss? What is it? Well, we know what it is. Don't want to die without Jesus, do we? And so she said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming to the world." And when she had said these things, she went to her way and secretly called Mary, her sister. "The teacher has come and is calling you." As soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came to him. Now Jesus had not yet come into the town, but he was in the place where Martha had met him. And then the Jews who were with her in the house and comforting her, when they saw that Mary rose up quickly, they went out and followed her, saying, "She's going to the tomb to weep there." Then when Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying to him, "Lord," again, the same thing Martha said, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Now, I want to just pause there for a minute, because Martha and Mary and you and I have all been guilty of this. We may say that we haven't, but we have. We've faced things in our life that are so big and so painful and so devastating that we questioned whether God was able to help us. It seems like God wasn't there when I needed him. And both Martha and Mary has said this thing. And so when Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Do you know what troubles Jesus? Think about it. Well, he's God. There's nothing he can't do. How can you trouble Jesus? He is troubled by our tears. He is troubled by our pain. And I think he's troubled by our doubt and fear and unbelief. I think those are things that trouble Jesus. If it didn't trouble him, he wouldn't be Jesus, because he loves us. When you love someone, the Bible says, weep with them that weep. When you love someone, then you're troubled when they're troubled. And so Jesus groaned in his spirit and he was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? He's like, let's get this thing over. This is too painful to see their tears. And they said, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Used to, when I did kids' ministry, I'd like, okay, you got a memory verse? Jesus wept. All right, you got to find a different one. You use that one 3 weeks in a row. And I don't remember what the other one was. It was a three-word verse. They found, how do kids find the shortest verses, you know? They all talk to one another. And then the Jews said, see how he loved them. Jesus is crying. They think his tears are about his love for Lazarus. His tears are about the grief of their doubt and their fear and their pain. And some of them said, could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus again, growing in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and there was a stone laying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, sometimes the reason God doesn't perform miracles in our life is he's waiting for us to do the thing that he can't, that we can do, that he could do, but he wants us to do. And, you know, I can't raise a man from the dead. Well, Jesus said, greater works I do, you can do. I could try. But I know one thing I can do. I can move a stone. And so Jesus could have spoke to that stone and obliterated it in one word, but he had them move the stone. And sometimes the miracle is right behind the thing that God is asking you to step out and do. And if we don't do our part, then God may be waiting a long, long time to perform the miracle that you're believing him to make. And so he tells them to take away the stone, and Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time there is a stench, for he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said, did I not say to you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? Now look at that. This is a conditional promise. Oh, Lord, show me your glory. Well, do you believe? Well, yeah, I think so, Lord. No, that's not good enough. Well, Lord, I want to believe. That's not good enough. If you believe, you will see the glory of God. And so our prayer should be, Lord, help me to believe to the level that I can see the glory of God. Amen. I want to see the glory of God, but I can't see the glory of God if I don't believe. And didn't I say that if you believe, you would see the glory of God? Yes, Lord, I want to believe. I want to have the kind of faith that sees the glory of God. And so they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and he said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me. Now, isn't that cool? Jesus is having a conversation with God, and he's saying, Father, I know that you hear me, and I'm not even saying this because I need to reinforce the fact that you hear me. I already know you hear me. I'm just saying it for these guys so they know. Right? Now, when he had said these things, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody said if he hadn't said Lazarus, every dead man in that cemetery would have come out of there. And they would have. Amen? That's called praying in specifics, right? I'll get the rest of you guys in a couple thousand years. For right now, it's just Lazarus. Lazarus, come forth. Carmen has an interesting song. I think we did it on Easter, didn't we? Lazarus, come forth. And they're having that testimony service, and they're all talking about how they knew Jesus. And Lazarus said, man, I knew him like you guys never did. I remember his tears of compassion, this and that. Hey, matter of fact, I think I hear him calling me now, you know. And so I got to go, guys. He's calling me out. So Lazarus, come forth. And he who died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Now, some of you probably heard me tell this story before, but I'll go ahead and tell it again. I would imagine it was probably around 2000 and maybe one, somewhere in there. I was doing children's ministry for Calvary Church, and we would pick up kids on a big school bus from trailer parks and different things, and we would bus them in, and we would feed them hot dogs and do puppet shows and sing songs and have a little preaching service. And on Fridays, I would go out with flyers to all these places and hand out the flyers, reminding them that Super Saturday is tomorrow, and the big yellow bus from Calvary Church will be by and have the kids watching for us. And the mother of one of the young girls there, who was probably about 13 or 14, said, you know what happened to her? And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. And she said, well, I was dating a guy, and I did not know that he was raping her repeatedly. And she said, what made it worse is on Thanksgiving Day, when he did that, she said, I hate your guts. I wish you were dead. And the man put a gun to his head. So this girl carried a whole lot of pain and a whole lot of guilt and a whole lot of scars. And for about 2 weeks or more, I would lie in bed, fall asleep praying for this girl. And I said, Lord, how can I communicate your love to her when she would say, if he loves me, where was he at when this was happening to me? And this went on, like I said, for about 2 weeks. And then one night, I am just between awake and asleep in that twilight state, and the Lord begins to speak to me. And he said, I was not there when Lazarus died. And I said, yes, Lord. And he said, but I not only raised, oh no, and he said, and his flesh was rotting. I said, yes, Lord. And he said, but I not only raised him from the dead, I healed the scars. And you know, when Lazarus was raised from the dead, his flesh still wasn't rotting anymore. Jesus, I mean, who would want to be raised from the dead and have your flesh rotting? You look like Night of the Living Dead, right? But Jesus had to have healed the skin and the scars, amen? And so, wow, what a word from God. I not only raised him from the dead, I healed the scars. And that next Sunday was Easter. I had built a giant whale, big enough for me to crawl out of chicken wire and paper mache. I mean, man, when you do kids ministry, you got to do this stuff. And I was talking about the resurrection because Jesus tied that to, you know, to Jonah, as Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. So this was an Easter message. But then it was a resurrection message. So I told the story of Lazarus. And I looked right at her when I said, and maybe you've raised your fist at God and said, if you love me, where were you at when this was happening to you? But I have a word from God. He not only can resurrect, he can heal the scars. And she came forward and I got to pray with her that day and God performed a miracle. And you know, maybe you're here tonight and you have some scars that you've carried and that you keep to yourself. But Jesus is not only the resurrection, he's the life. And he can heal the scars. No matter what you've been through, if you will just let him. Amen. So we're going to try to finish the chapter, but I do want to come back to this for prayer afterwards. Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen the things that Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things that Jesus did. And then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, what shall we do? For this man works many signs. If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. Some people are more concerned with their posterity and their position than with God. Amen. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, you know nothing at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish. Now that he did not say that on his own authority, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the nation, and not for the nation only, but also that he would gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then, from that day on, they plotted to put him to death. Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but he went from there into the country near the wilderness to the city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples. The Passover of the Jews was near, and many went from the country to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. And then they sought Jesus and spoke among themselves that as they stood in the temple, "What do you think? Will he come to the feast?" And both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given command that anyone knew where he was, that they should report it, that they might seize him. And so we're coming up on the triumphant entry and ultimately the crucifixion of the Lord in the next few chapters. Now I want to just take one more minute to go back to the subject of God's ability to heal emotional scars or physical scars. Tonight as we close, I want to pray. And if you're here and you have some emotional scars or physical scars as a result of something, we're not going to ask you to raise a hand or come forward or anything. The Holy Spirit knows everything, doesn't he? You know, let me just say this. After I had ministered to that girl, it wasn't about 2 weeks later that the senior pastor was out of town and I was preaching on the Sunday night service. And during that service, I was talking about the walking wounded, people who walk around and they wear a mask like everything's fine, but they're carrying wounds. And I told that story about this girl, and I told it pretty much the way I told you guys. And I said, maybe you've shaken your fist at God and said, "God, if you love me, where were you at when this was happening to me?" And I had an altar call, and one man came forward and began to weep at the altar. And those of us gathered around, laid hands on him, prayed for him. And he, as an adult, had been abused by someone multiple times. And I talked to his wife that night, and she said, "Brother Roger, driving to church this night, he said, 'If God loves me, where was he at when that was happening?'" The Holy Ghost knows everything. Amen. And there is no one, no matter how young or how old, is exempt from emotional scars that the devil can use people to put on people. And so I say that to say, don't be embarrassed tonight if you need God to touch you and to heal you, because every one of us have had some kind of pain in the past, and God is in the business of healing scars. So as I pray, just reach out to the Lord in your own way, in your own mind, in your own heart, and remind him that you believe that he has the power to bring glory out of pain, to bring glory out of death, to bring glory out of scars. Amen. Tonight, Lord, we come to you, and we are so thankful that you are a God of miracles, that nothing is too hard for you. And you said, "Didn't I say if you believe, you would see the glory of God?" And so tonight, Lord, we believe that you have the power to heal emotional scars. You have the power to turn rotting flesh in flesh so smooth it's like a baby, a newborn baby. You have the power to take away the scars of the past, the memories of the scars of the past. You have the power to give us joy and peace like we've never experienced before. And so tonight, Lord, we are exercising our faith to reach out to you and say, "Lord, I believe. I believe that you can touch me and that you can heal me. I've carried this scar long enough. I don't want to live in this graveyard anymore. I'm moving the stone away from the entrance. I'm not going to hide behind this stone. I'm not going to cower behind it, embarrassed by my scars. I'm moving the stone, and I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to heal, to resurrect, to do what I cannot do. And by faith tonight, I receive your healing power, your healing virtue. And I believe, Lord, that tomorrow when I wake up, I'm going to experience a new dimension of my life because of your healing virtue, the glory of God. In Jesus' name, amen." Praise God. Well, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. We appreciate you guys coming tonight. Don't forget to remind people about a week from Saturday, the prophecy update, and we'll see you guys Sunday.